How many of you realize you haven't communicated anything until the person you're talking to understands what you're saying? In other words, if you're running out of the house and yelling at your wife, "I won't be home for dinner," she may not have heard that. She may have heard, "I'll be home for dinner. Have it ready for me." And so we come to a place where we really, really, really need to hear. Go with me to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Now, this is a message not about whether God loves you or not. This is a message about whether you're listening and obeying. Judy's dog, which is now no longer a puppy, don't like it when I tell him no. He'll actually little twerp, not big and about the same size you could hit with a fly swatter and hurt pretty bad. But whenever I say no, he's in my face, literally. He puts his paws up and starts pawing and starts barking, telling me, "You don't have a right to tell me no. I'm the master and you're my servant." And that's how Judy treats him. But he's cute as a bug's ear and he's fun to have around and he made me a lot younger. He makes our trips a lot longer when you got to stop and let him walk, you know, do the things that dogs do. But he needs to learn to listen. Friday he jumped out of the house and got in snow up to his belly and would go as far as he could go and as fast as he could go to get away from me. And when I said, "Cody," he never, until he got wet and cold, and then he wanted me to pick him up. And sometimes we're exactly the same way. We run from God and run from God, and God is talking to us, but we don't pay attention until the end of our leash is so tight we're choking and we have nothing else we can do but come back. Now, we heard this morning, and I have absolutely no doubt about it, that God is radically in love with us. But let me ask you this question. You cannot have a relationship that's one-sided. Amen or oh me? Amen. How many are putting your shields up and covering your ears and saying, "I don't want to hear this morning"? A relationship that's one-sided is no relationship. I picked up a new vehicle or a different vehicle. And the guy that sold the vehicle to the people that helped me buy it had no knowledge about God. He was not in my realm at all. He was just absolutely, I'm not saying he was a shyster, I'm just saying he was very, very in a different realm. Sitting there and talking with him, I finally asked him a question that lit a fuse. I said, "Now, are you married?" And he said, "No," and he stopped there. So I said, "Have you ever been married?" "No, but I've had this relationship with this woman whom I don't trust." Do you think that opened a door? And so we talked about it all the time. They were putting windshield wipers on the van. And I looked at him as I got ready to go after sharing with him some things. And I said, "Would you mind if someday we just come down and have coffee?" He said, "No, I'd like that." A one-sided relationship where there's no trust is not a relationship. Look at me. A relationship where you do not really love God, where you're not really interested in walking and obeying Him, is not a relationship. The Bible says this, and this is what God just showed me. Showed me these words as plain as I can imagine. In Genesis chapter 6, verse number 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and took them for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, and these are the words I saw, My spirit shall not strive with man forever. For he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now there's a lot of issues in there, but here's the issue we're going to deal with. My spirit will not always, the King James says, strive with man. And mine says, shall not strive with man forever, for he indeed is flesh. We can go back to Genesis chapter 2 when God told Adam, you can eat of any tree in the garden, but of the tree of the good of knowledge and evil you should not eat unless you die. How many understand Abraham heard that? Almost. Because when the devil came to Eve, Eve knew the words. Of all the trees in the garden we can eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil we can't eat. Eve heard that from Adam, so Adam heard it. But the issue was they quit paying attention to it. They quit remembering. Not in their mind, but they quit remembering what was going to happen. And when the devil said, oh, well, you'll surely not die, they said, oh, that's better. I'd rather have those words than what I heard from God. I'd rather pay attention to those words than what God told me. And so they ate, and eventually they died. Listen to me. We need to come to a place of taking the word of God literally. We've all want to hear words from God. People travel all over the country to get a prophecy or a word from God through someone else. But make up your mind right now. Seal the deal. And don't let it go any further than this. Any word that people says come from God, or any word spoken to you that is not 100% in line with the word of God is not from God. I don't care how much you hope it is. I don't care how much you wish it is. I don't care what it sounds like. I don't care what you feel like. No person has a right to take a word give to you, or do you have a right to accept a word that is contrary to the word of God? And if somebody tells you that, or if you're hearing it, it's a lie. People, look at me. We're in a feel-good generation. We're in a time where if it feels good, do it. But God has not changed. And God is not concerned about so much how you feel as he's concerned about where you're going. What is your relationship? How much are you walking with him? How much are you living in obedience? How much are you paying attention to what he's trying to tell you? How much are we hearing and we're doing? I know at times that can sound hard, but the Bible says this, in the last days, many are going to depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. People want to hear the feel-good messages. People want to turn on the feel-good preachers, and you can send them $100, and they'll give you a word, or they'll give you something else that will make you feel good. Listen, God's not for sale. His prophecies aren't for sale. You cannot pay your tithe here and go to heaven without a relationship. And it gets tough, and this is going to get tough this morning, but hang on. I'm preaching it because it's in my spirit and because I feel that the Church of Jesus Christ has forgotten the basics and we're hanging out in the fringe areas. We're hanging out on the bless me. We're hanging out in the prosperity. We're hanging out on I'll never have a need, I'll never have a want. God is not President Obama. You say, what are you talking about? There's people all over this nation who are in for a downfall because they think he can pay their house payments and he can pay their car payments and he can give them all kinds of money. It's not going to happen. God will provide your needs. Your needs, not your knees. Your needs. Go with me to Exodus chapter 9. We okay? Ever hear a guy by the name of Pharaoh? Pharaoh wasn't fair. You can stay right there and keep that part. Verse 12, and I'm just going to read one verse here. Verse 12, but the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not heed them, or he did not listen to them, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses. Skip down to verse 20. He who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his livestock flee to the house. But he who did not regard the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. How? He took a cement mixer and opened him up and put cement all around his heart? No. You know what happened to Pharaoh? God kept speaking to him and speaking to him through Moses. The word kept coming, the word kept coming, the word kept coming, and Pharaoh quit listening. He heard, but he never obeyed. And every time the word of the Lord came and he didn't obey, his heart got harder. Next time, it came harder. But something we don't realize is Pharaoh's hard heart affected or infected his servants. The servants that didn't hear were in the field when the hail came with their animals. Look at verse 34. And when Pharaoh saw the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet more. And he hardened his heart, he and his servants. Look at me. When your heart is hardened because you're listening, but you're not listening. You're hearing, but you're not hearing, and you're not acting. Your hard heart and your resistance to the word of God will affect those around you. Pharaoh played games with God until it cost him his firstborn son and the firstborn children and the firstborn animals in the whole land. Every time his heart got hard, his heart got hard. Read it. His heart got hard. He would hear and he would say, okay, you can go. And as soon as the event stopped, he said, no, you can't go. How many of us listen to God, but we don't listen? How many of us have things in our lives that are not godly, and God has dealt with us about them, and for a while we'll give them up, or we'll walk away from them, or whatever it might be, but pretty soon we're back the same place? How many of us, God tells us to do something? There are people God has told to pray. There are people that God has told to read the word. Everybody has been told to pray and read the word. But how many excuses do we make when we know that that's the key to our life? How many excuses do we make and we just don't do it? It's very interesting. I got a bunch of scripture written down. And let's look at a man by the name of Samson. You like him? Pretty tough guy. Guy that got mad at the city, so he carried the gates away. Gates of the city aren't just light things that, like 20-pound dumbbells. So Samson started messing around. And God was with him for a while. But pretty soon he got to his Nazirite vow, a vow that he and his parents had made to God. A Nazirite vow means this: I will not drink any alcoholic beverage, I will not touch any dead body, and I will not cut my hair. That was a Nazirite vow in the Old Testament. It was a vow to God. Samson knew those vows. He told Delilah, no razor has ever touched my head. How many remember that? But for a little lovemaking, he'd say anything. And so finally, after lying to her, how many times? Telling her that this is where my strength is. If you tie me with new cords, if you braid my hair, there he was getting close, right? Finally, he looks at her and he says, honey, nobody's ever put a razor to my head. If you cut my hair, I become weak. My spirit will not always strive with man. Delilah shaved his head while he was sleeping. That must have been a pretty deep sleep. And he woke up and she said, the Philistines are upon you. And he shook himself as before. And some of the most sad words in the Bible, he did not recognize that the spirit had departed. What happened? He simply went too far. Yeah, God came upon him at the end of his life, but he died with the Philistines. My spirit will not always strive with man. God gave us his Holy Spirit so we could be like him. God never intends to be like us. His spirit came so we could be like him. Let's go to the book of Matthew. Chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Verse number 24. And you know what this is about. Therefore, whoever hears, Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone, not some, everyone, who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was the fall. It fell, and great was the fall. You may think you're just ignoring a little bit of God's word. We may come to a place where we think, well, that really doesn't apply. Or this doesn't fit in, or I don't like this part of it. But look at me. I don't have a right to pick and choose what I'm going to believe in the Word of God. There are some people that all they have is a concordance left in their Bible. They found something they didn't like, so they tear it out. They find something they don't like, they tear it out. Sometimes we're a little more considerate than that. We just don't read it anymore. And so God comes and says, here's what I have for you, here's what I want for you, and here's how I want you to live, and here's what I want you to do, and here's what I want you to walk. And we say, no, we got a better idea. God, it's about time you fit into my plan. God, it's about time you fit into what I want and how I am pleased and how I am blessed and all this stuff. And God says, this morning, how many heard? When's enough enough? When are you going to be satisfied? With him? Or are we so satisfied we're going to walk the walk we want? You could easily put on this passage, foolish foundation. How many realize if your foundation's not secure, the rest of your house is in trouble? Do you put any time in your foundation?
Lots.
Put any money in it?
Lots.
Why?
It's got to be good or everything else is worthless.
Yeah. Yeah, did you ever work on a house with a bad foundation?
Yeah.
Look at me. What do we have in Christ if he's not our foundation? What do we have on Christ if we're building our spiritual house on the sand? There are people living that way, and they let their house slide here when that doctrine sounds okay. And they let their house slide here when that sounds good. And they let it slide over here when that sounds good. And then when the storm comes, they have no foundation. And what happens to the house? It collapses. Listen to me, folks. I'm not preaching this just because I want to preach something. I'm preaching this is in this time, Christians are standing, a lot of them are standing on a weak foundation, and Jesus is not weak. Let me ask you a question. How many of you has ever told God, God, if you do this, I'll serve you? Is that a good foundation? It's terrible. I've done it. He said, that's okay, get mad at me and go to hell. I'll get even with you, God, I'll just go to hell. I had a man sitting with me in a pickup. I think I told you the story before. He looked at me one day and he says, this doesn't work, Dwight. I'm not going to serve God anymore. I said, that's great. Then where are you going to go? He said, what do you mean? If you're not going to serve God, you're going to hell. Foolish foundations. John chapter 12. We okay? We gonna have less people next Sunday? You okay, Ange?
I'm fine.
Not gonna cry on the way home? Martha? Then Jesus cried out in verse 44 and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save him. But he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in that day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, and the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. Listen to that. Jesus said in John 3, I didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. Now he's saying this. If you hear my words and you don't believe them, if you don't accept them, if you don't respond to them, I'm not going to judge you. But you will be judged by the words that I spoke to you that you didn't pay attention to. Very interesting, isn't it? He's not saying he won't love that person. He's not saying that that person cannot ever have eternal life. He's saying if you hear my words, you ignore them, disregard them, don't pay attention to them. The day is coming when that word that I spoke to you will judge you. People don't realize there's a built-in condemnation in sin. It's not from God. It's a characteristics of sin. Sin has a way of making you guilty and condemning you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You ever been there? But when we come to Christ, it's like the woman taken in adultery. I don't condemn you. Jesus didn't come to condemn. The Bible says there is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus who walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh. No condemnation. Why? Because the sin has been dealt with. The sin issue has been dealt with. You take the sin out of a person's life, and a Christian understands that the sin is taken out of your life, there's no more condemnation because it's not from God, and the sin's not there to condemn you, unless you condemn yourself. Acts, book of Acts, chapter 28. You doing okay? These are the last words that Paul basically spoke in the book of Acts. Verse 25. So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying, go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing. They have their eyes closed, their eyes have been closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their hearts, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles that they might hear it. In Isaiah chapter 6, if you remember that setting, Isaiah was in the Lord, and he saw the heavens basically open, and he saw seraphims, and he saw them around the throne of God, and cherubims crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And then God says, who will go for me, and who will I send? And then God tells him this, I'm going to send you to this people. They're going to have eyes, but they're not going to see. And they're going to have ears, but they're not going to hear. They're not going to pay attention to what I'm saying. Paul, as he's preaching his last message in the book of Acts to a group of Jews in Rome that came to hear him, is basically saying, you know, God told the prophet Isaiah this. That you're going to have eyes, but you're not going to see. You're going to have ears, but you're not going to hear. And you're not going to turn and repent. Therefore, I'm taking the message to the Gentiles and they're going to be saved. Do we hear? Do we listen? Do we pay attention? Or is my relationship with God very casual? Is my relationship with God one-sided? Is my relationship with God based on my needs and my wants? And I leave it there without ever coming to the place of saying, God, you're the master. God, you're the one. And I walk this out without ever in my life bowing my knee to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and saying, like Jesus, it's not my will but yours. It's not where I want to go. It's not what I want to do. It's not what I want to be. It's not about my house. It's not about my car. It's not about my family. It's not about a lot of other issues that we put ahead of God and we never bow our knee and absolutely tell God, God, it's you and me and you're number one. Am I hearing? Selective hearing causes carelessness. Selective hearing, making deals with God that's always one-sided in my favor. How many of you ever found that out? Whenever I make a deal with God, it always benefits me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Behind this door. God, if you'll just give me this and you do this for me, I will give you the greatest gift in the whole world. I'll serve you. Hello, Ed. But we do that. And we think God is just sitting up there, woo, goody, 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 I finally got him. Till the next problem comes. Till the next let's make a deal show comes on. And God is looking down saying, when will my church grow up? I don't hear Stephen as he's being stoned saying, God, if you'd stop these stones, I'll be a prophet or I'll be an evangelist or I'll be this or I'll be that. I don't see the Apostle Paul as they're leading him down to the execution or the guillotine or however they did it, the sword, saying, God, if you just give me another year, another 5 years, I'll be whatever you want me to be. No, Paul cried out that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 verses left, but we're going to look at them all together. Revelation chapter 2. Please look at them with me. They're all pretty much the same thing. Chapter 2, verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. He that hath an ear. Do we have a spiritual ear this morning? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Verse number 11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. My spirit will not always strive with man. Don't forget that as you're listening. Verse 17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Verse number 29. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Are you listening? Verse number 6, chapter 3. He who has an ear, let him hear what the churches say, what the Spirit says to the churches. Verse number 13. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I want to drop something different in there right now. Verse number 10 of chapter 3. Don't miss this verse. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. The promise to Philadelphia, if you keep my word, I'm going to keep you from the tribulation. Verse number 13, we read that. The last one. Verse number 22, chapter 3. Even to the church of Laodicea, the church that he spew out of his mouth, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. James 1:19 is the last verse this morning. James 1:19. So then, my beloved, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Therefore, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Take time to hear what God's telling you. Take time to pay attention. This is not a message about judgment. This is a message that God loves you enough to speak into your heart and say, listen to me. Listen to me and do what my word says. Live how my word says. Walk out my word in your daily life. Stop making excuses why you're not totally sold out to God. Stop making excuses why you can look at stuff and say, well, I don't have to live that way. I don't have to walk that out. I can just take out of here whatever I want. I'm taking out of here heaven, and then I'm going there, and that's final. No, heaven is about the last thing that's going to happen in your daily walk with God. Listen to me. Think about that. Heaven is the last thing, basically, that's going to happen in your daily walk with God. How much am I missing if that's my only focus? I'm going to tell you something. You may not like this, but you can come and yell at me later. To serve God just because I'm going to heaven is pretty selfish. Or to serve God because I don't want to go to hell, that's pretty selfish. It's about me. To serve God because he gave his son and he gave us life and he forgave our sins and he was nailed to a cross. That's the real issue. It's all about him. Amen or omen? We're going to get to heaven. I'm not concerned about that. What I got to get concerned is how many people am I taking with me? And am I going to be like Christ when I get there? My spirit shall not always strive with man. God looked down and saw that the lives of men were evil. What do you think he's seeing today? Amen?